Welcome to Rain It In. I'm Rachel.
I'm Matt. This is our second take on our second trip to Japan.
It's been a while since we recorded one of these podcasts, and we have forgotten how to podcast since we haven't actually recorded one in about 6 months. So apologies. They'll get better from here, we promise.
Anyways, this is a conversational podcast between two married nerds as we travel around the world, play games, eat food, drink drinks, and generally try to have fun when we're not working.
And speaking of being married and nerds, I guess, one of the reasons that we came to Japan this time is because it's our 20th anniversary. So it was
Right.
our celebration for that.
If you stick around, though, we're actually stick around listeners. We're gonna have multiple episodes here. We're gonna be in Japan for 28 days, I think is what it is. And so our anniversary is actually on the near the end of this, so it's not quite our anniversary, but you can wish us a happy anniversary to two insufferable nerds talking about their privileged travels around Japan.
Woo.
Yeah.
So we've been here for just this is the second day that we've been here, so second full day. So this podcast, really, we're going to sort of talk about the trip here, and then just kind of first impressions. You know, we were here 5 years ago, and you can go back and listen to those episodes if you want. Maybe we were better podcasters back then because we hadn't forgotten how.
I know, we'll see. This is the whole reason the podcast exists, is for this our first trip 5 years ago.
We're just going to kind of talk about, like, distinctions that we've noticed maybe between last time and this time, and like what our experience getting settled in is, basically.
All right, well, let's kick it off. So our trip started with a little bit of delay on the tarmac,
The worst kind of delay, really.
yeah, it was a bunch of weather, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're delayed before you get on the plane, fine, whatever. Like, you can move around.
Yeah, do stuff. But yeah, we were just sitting in the seats, and so what was supposed to be a 14-hour flight turned into a 16-and-a-half-hour flight. They regained some time, I think, because we were supposed to.
We were definitely on the plane for 3 hours before it took off.
Which added to the long. I'm sorry, cut you off.
No, that's fine. And so then the flight was about 13 and a half hours. So we gained half an hour over the 14 that it was supposed to be. But flights are always a little bit shorter than they say, just so they can end up with a good on-time record.
Especially Delta, it seems. But we were lucky enough to have a straight-through flight, which was cool. We were also lucky enough to have Comfort Plus, but we got pretty spoiled when we went to Europe. You can go back and listen to our Budapest episode. Man, nobody listened to the Budapest episode for whatever reason.
You should listen to it. Budapest is great.
I
You would learn
mean,
all kinds of things about how cool it is, and then you would want to go there, and you should go there
I
because
know,
it's great.
but at the same time, they've got that,
Oh, yeah, they do
Orban
have like
guy, so I
a.
can understand, I wonder. But anyways, we're not going to get into politics here. Everybody's got
Down with fascists.
their fascism problem going on right now, it seems like. But yeah, so it was a little bit tough being on a plane quite that long.
It was like I was, my butt was very tired. That's all I can say. And like, yeah, I was leaning towards Matt because I was in the middle, and the woman next to me was broad of shoulder. And so, anyway, it was a long flight, and I find myself increasingly, this is a total aside, but I find myself increasingly like, airplane food on international flights just makes me feel so bad, that I really want a way to like pack my own food, at least for one way of the trip. I think on the way home that would be really hard, but unfortunately the airports in Japan don't sell like ekiben. Ekiben would be like the train sort of set meals.
Do we know that?
There's not. I looked for them last time.
Oh,
There's not
right.
like airplane set meals, unfortunately. But anyway, I just if anybody has ever done that and wants to leave a comment about it,
We'd love to hear it.
I would love to hear, because it's just
Everything's so
so
salty.
salty, and like, they, I know they try their best, but
And I would say it all tasted pretty good. Mine were all, well, I enjoyed all mine, but you're right. It was still just felt heavy. It was like gnocchi, and then it was this like the two other snack meals were both mega bread.
Bread stuffed with things, yeah. One was just bread stuffed with cheese, which was fine, but like, again, like that cheese is super salty. Like, it's heavy.
Don't get me wrong. I love bread too. But yeah. Anyways, so, but we did get here.
We did get here. Yes. Only 2.5 hours late. I mean, it could be much worse.
Yeah. I'd say if you're thinking about traveling to Japan and you haven't already, book your flights early. You know, figure out your route to get from the airport to where you're staying, because depending on which airport you come into, it might be easier or harder. We came into Haneda this time, which is the first time we came into it, which is nice because it's closer. However, there was not a really good direct train to where we're staying.
Yeah, that's true. We had to kind of train around. And I also feel like, I don't know, is Haneda maybe not set up quite as much? Because Narita used to be the place where all the U.S. flights came into. Like, is Haneda not set up as much for that in terms of immigration, right? Because, like, it was kind of absurd, the amount of, like, kind of back and forth zigzagging we did. And there were plenty of people helping, and the line was always moving. It was just, like, and then that part was fine, but then after that, it was very confusing about where you were supposed to go and what you were supposed to do for customs.
Yeah.
I don't remember being quite as confused flying into Narita. And I wonder, I mean, tourism has skyrocketed in Japan, so that's part of it. But I wonder if Haneda's just not set up quite as well either.
Quite as well. That could be. The yeah, because like the back and forth, the, what are they, cattle...
Yeah.
Runs or whatever the heck. But anyways, but you go back and forth in the roped off areas. The funny thing is, like, most airports you go to and there's like some organized structure to that. And these were like increasingly narrow at points where like you couldn't get your shoulders past other people without turning sideways, but everybody's wearing backpacks, and it was kind of comical, but it was nice that it moved pretty quickly ultimately. It was very warm.
It did. It just, I mean, also like at the end some people were just like, so many people were just like frantically filling out paperwork.
Yeah.
It's like, this probably should have, like, maybe on the airplane, what they can do is like go around and be like, here's a QR code, scan this, and that will bring up the Japan.
Well, I think part of the problem was our flight didn't have working internet unless you paid for it, right? Whereas a lot of flights do. But they could have made it clearer. And so I would say the other one is go to Travel Japan website.
Yes.
We filled out all of our stuff before we even left the US. It was hugely helpful. You still have to do multiple steps. We had to show our QR code to get through passport control.
Mm-hmm.
We had to individually scan our passport in the self-service kiosk, it seemed like. And then we had to rescan, both our passports and our QR code for customs, a self-checkout customs. And then you went through another person who scanned your stuff another time.
Mm-hmm.
Japan is really intense about not having foreign nationals or not having foreign aliens or whatever staying.
And it was fine. It just was like the second half of that was, like I said, poorly labeled and a little bit confusing. And like I mean once you got to the end of the immigration line, like, everything was chaos because like it seemed like a ton of people either didn't know they had to fill out forms or hadn't filled them out correctly. And so like you have like 5 feet of space.
Right.
3 feet of which is taken up by people frantically filling out paperwork.
I know, right. Yeah, yeah. And then so they could have also just done better with showing signage, because there was airport Wi-Fi. Probably most people, well, not a lot of people, but plenty of people are just doing international service on their phone, right? There were people filling out the form while they were walking through the line, but more people could have been doing that. And I would just say be aware anytime you enter a foreign country, right? Even returning back to the U.S., there's going to be a lot of walking to get to the stuff, and then you're going to be waiting in some form of line probably. If you have global entry as a U.S. citizen coming in, it is dramatically easier in Atlanta Airport, at least.
It is, yeah.
But, you know, give yourself some time. Plan out your thing. I think part of the reason why we had a little bit of trouble with the route to our place where we're staying is we're staying in a place in an area that I don't think maybe gets as many tourists staying here. We're still in the city. We're in Shinbashi. But it's not a major station. So, like, I think from Haneda, you can get to all the major stations. Shinagawa was really easy.
Right.
But ours was a little bit, so we had to like kind of jump around.
We had to transfer and it was a little bit confusing, but I think probably part of the confusion
airport brain
was just, jet lag and, you know, just being tired. Cause it took us a couple hours to get out of the airport.
Yeah, probably.
So, between you know, the extra 2.5 hours on the plane and then the couple hours in the airport, you know, by then you're pretty tired.
Yeah. And then so our first night, we, by the time we got here to our apartment, it was what, maybe like 5:30 or something like that. Mm-hmm. We took some quick showers. We headed out. We scoped out a place to eat. But we ran into, we both got cash before we got here. We could have gotten cash from an ATM, which is what we normally have done. But we, because we bought yen in the US before we got here, we had bigger bills than would work. And so,
a lot of restaurants, especially, like ramen or soba or whatever, those types of restaurants, they'll have a kiosk out front, where you can just, you know, hit the button for what you want. And then it'll print out a ticket and you give the ticket to the cook, right, behind mm-hmm. the, behind the counter. So, we were anticipating that, but the one that we went to, the kiosk only took up to 1,000 yen
yeah.
bills.
Which the second one we went to too, but we stopped the, convenience store, a konbini, and bought just like a thing of tea so we could break one of the big bills. And that was clutch.
Yeah, exactly. So we're, first, like, it was a tiny alley. We were trying to make our way down to this, and there was a guy standing at the end of it. And there were also some kind of water noises, so I was like, oh, this is just a bathroom. There's just a guy peeing here. he was actually standing at the kiosk ordering,
yeah.
But I really thought that, because, like, a lot of Japanese back alleys, like, men will just be peeing, right? Or,
but even more than that, there's often the bathroom for that little Yokocho area is just like a semi-open air, mm-hmm. like bathroom with
right.
a couple of urinals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual in some of the back alleys in more crowded bar areas to see men just peeing.
Yeah.
Like they're peeing where they're supposed to, but I just assumed that's what was happening. So I was really confused. So then we left, we went back out, then we went back in and we saw the thing. We tried to do the button thing and then we tried to put in money and it was like, no, you can't put in this money. And so by then we were just kind of a little bit like flummoxed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we ended up just finding an entirely different place.
Yeah. And so when we came 5 years ago, we'd done similar. We found a ramen place, which I have to say, that's still one of the best ramen I've ever had mm-hmm. 5 years ago. We ended up at a skeimen place instead, which is kind of like ramen, but it's like dipping ramen. Mm-hmm. So you get a thicker gravy, you get cold noodles, you dip the noodles in the gravy. All your little toppings are on the side mm-hmm. generally. It was still delicious, but it was very much fishier than...
It was super fishy. Yeah. I mean, it was good. It just was like... And it was obviously very popular. There were 5 seats in the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. There was one person that worked there.
He was probably the owner as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we waited in line, which was fine. Like, once I was like, okay, I know we can make this work. I don't mind waiting in line as long as, like, I can kind of process what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. So we waited in line for a while, but it wasn't terrible.
No.
And that gave me, you know, faith that it was going to be good if
yeah.
people were bothering to wait in line. And it was good. It just was like, yeah, incredibly fishy.
Right. And I think we were lucky to, no, I think we figured it out. Whatever. When we went 5 years ago, the first ramen place, because we were jet lagged, but we didn't have the extra 3 hours sitting mm-hmm. in the plane. And we had a smoother yet longer trip. Narita Express from Narita to Shinjuku.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just, yeah. So I think our brains were working better.
We were 5 years younger.
Yeah, that's part of it too. But I like, you sometimes see people, staff from restaurants will be helping tourists with the kiosk. And that didn't happen in either one of these. But
no.
Partially because it's like a one person
right.
place.
Yeah, whereas like busy. The ramen one last time, the only thing that I needed help with was ordering a beer. But because mm-hmm. we ordered our ramen and gave our tickets to the guy. And then I was like, oh, I want a beer. And I went back and I couldn't figure out which one said beer.
Yeah.
And one of the guys working there helped me, which was nice.
It's also like if you are coming to Japan and you're thinking about this, you can see some of this stuff online. But these kiosks that you order from, they're pretty old school often. Sometimes they're fancy electronic ones. But generally speaking, the ramen places, they're only going to offer like 4 options, basically. Mm-hmm. And then there's the rest is toppings and drinks. So just look at the top row. Look at the things that are about what you would think something would cost, which is going to be between like, 1,000 and 1,200. Yeah,
maybe.
Right, yen. And then You just like poke one, and mm-hmm. you'll be good. Yeah. So, but anyway, so what else are your thoughts? So, like the first start was similar to our last trip.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to, I think, because that worked so well last time. Mm-hmm. I think we tried to like
recreate it,
right? Not exactly, because you can never exactly recreate anything, and it was mostly successful with a few more hiccups than I think we had last time.
Yeah, and then our first full day, well, we slept. Did okay with the jet lag. Not great, but...
This is always something that surprises me, though. Like, every time we come, I'm like, oh, the sun comes up at 4.
Oh, yeah.
And so, our apartment that we're staying in has very big windows. They have shades, but, like, the sun comes up at 4, and so by the time it's 6, the sun is really up, and then I wake up.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, we've been awake for 3 hours already.
Yeah.
And we haven't left the apartment.
Yeah, it's 9:15.
We
gotta
start running before we go too far, but yeah.
But, so that's a weird thing about Japan. Mm-hmm. That, like, last time I was here, I was constantly thinking that I had really overslept because I would wake up at 7, say, and it was so bright out. We've been waking up very early. Not even just because of, I think we've done a pretty good job of transitioning ourselves to Japan time.
Yeah,
overall. I didn't have like a crash yesterday where I was like,
you know, we might have at lunchtime. We went for a big walk, went to a couple art museums, and then by the National Gallery of Modern Art, I think it's maybe what it's called, National Museum of Modern Art, which is all right on, in the same complex as the Imperial Palace. There was a kind of a food desert out there. We were walking and we were hoping for just like a vending machine to get some liquid, mm-hmm. and it was really hot and sunny. It was nice out, but it was kind of rough. And then we thought there'd be a restaurant cafe, and there wasn't really. There mm-hmm. was, but it was like full and way too fancy.
Super fancy.
And so I think we maybe were hitting some sort of crash there, because mm-hmm. I was feeling a little bonkers at the museum, and then a little bit after, and then we stopped and negotiated another kiosk at like a fast food soba place. And after we ate, I felt like a million times better.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we were both just, I think we just needed food and liquid.
Yeah. And a little bit of rest. We did walk like almost 21,000 steps yesterday.
Yeah.
My feet are a little sore still.
Yeah. Today's going to be a less walking day. Yeah. Yesterday we went to two places that we did not go to the first time we were here, but that Matt had been to in... 9 years ago.
Yeah, I was here for work 9 years ago. And stuck around one extra day because Rachel convinced me to not be a chicken shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you're flying all the way. Just stay an extra day. Because he was here for work, like you said, for a conference. But, so I really like the Pottery Museum, which is the first one that we went to.
Musée Tomo.
Yeah. The second, the Modern Art Museum... I think I appreciated some of it less than I could have because I was tired and hungry.
Yeah.
But like, I liked seeing some of the stuff that was there. Yeah.
I think there was some slightly different temporary stuff when I was there last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one, the rotating exhibit wasn't open yet. It opens at the end of the month. So, it was a good museum though. It was interesting. Like they did have some rooms where they had, like European sort of cubist and like kind of modernist artworks, and then just a few of them, and then like mostly Japanese ones from the same period. So you could kind of see like, okay, like what's happening in Europe, what's happening mm-hmm. in Japan, like.
And the one that I was like, wow, they're really influenced by what was going on in Europe at the time. And Rachel was like, that is actually a Wangri.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, got it. That makes sense.
Yeah. Because a couple of them, I was like, whoa, they're just cop. And then I was like, oh, no, they're not.
Oh, and there was the one guy, I don't remember his name, but they called him, they kind of made him out to be a little bit of a rapscallion. Uh-huh. He was in Tokyo in the 30s. He came from the Kansai region, which is like Osaka, Kyoto kind of area. And, but he painted this portrait of a woman that, hell if it did not look like something de Kooning was inspired by, mm-hmm. like 15 years later or something. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a nice reminder that things go both ways. Often,
right. Yeah. Right? Well, and you made that point too about like a couple of the pieces of pottery in the Tomo Museum.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, I wonder if you know, Picasso had seen these before he was doing his pottery. And there were a couple of them that were very reminiscent. I didn't take pictures, actually, of either of those.
Right. I mean, Picasso is notorious for borrowing ideas from other cultures. I mean, that's part of what it was. Yeah, and then there was also, who was the other one, too? I said, inserted some of the other, it doesn't matter. We'll come back to that. But anyways, Musée Tomo, if you are all into art and pottery, take the opportunity to go a little bit out of the way.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a trip. And that place has a cafe, so...
Yeah, that looked delicious, but we were not ready for that.
We weren't. We had just had a snack. But it had really nice views, like, over a little kind of serene park area. Mm-hmm. So know that if you go there, you can get some food. If you go to the Modern Art Museum, and I think you're not in a in fancy dress, they maybe... We'll tell you there's not a table.
Yeah, especially if you're not Japanese speaking. The
we didn't have a reservation though, or anything, and it was definitely not polite. Just like a casual museum cafe, right? It was a like multiple courses like kind of 5-star restaurant.
So we should wrap up a little bit here. We're not going to have a middle break, I think, so we can get moving.
Yeah, because we've only been here 2 days.
I know. Well, that's part of it. But I wanted to get your first impressions. Granted, we were near the Imperial Palace. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people, but nothing seemed bonkers from a tourist perspective. We have yet to go to any of the really big tourist areas.
Yeah, so the area that we're in, like the first night when we were getting that Skamen, like that neighborhood was super packed with people.
Yeah, it's all like salary people.
Yeah, it was all Japanese business people. So it definitely wasn't, it didn't feel like, oh, this place is overrun with tourists. It was just like, yeah, here's a million Japanese people going out Friday night.
Yeah, there were some tourists, but yeah.
Yeah, but like... It was
definitely a low percentage of the ratio or whatever. Yeah.
And then yesterday walking along the Imperial Palace, like obviously that's a bigger tourist spot. There were a lot more
I would expect that,
like maybe. Sort of white people. But neither of the art museums were kind of particularly packed, even for a Saturday, right? Like, like they were, and it was kind of a mix of people, you know, tourists and not tourists, but...
I mean, there could have been Japanese tourists from other areas too, but yeah.
But neither of them were, like, overwhelmingly crowded. So in terms of, you know, the sort of crush that we've been hearing about of tourists in Japan hasn't really stood out strongly to me yet.
Yeah, but part of what we heard too is like, avoid some of the really big things that are super Instagram and YouTube famous. So we're staying in Shinbashi, the new bridge, which is a little bit south of Ginza and a little bit south of the Imperial Palace, which is sort of the center of Tokyo. It's so different. When we were here 5 years ago, we stayed to the west of Shinjuku. And it was like a 10 or 12 minute walk from Shinjuku Station, which was, or maybe still is, the busiest train station in the world. Mm-hmm. Yet within that 10 minute walk, you got into these little neighborhood streets that were little 2-story homes and like high school and some like, you know, 4 or 5 story apartment buildings. But it was dead quiet.
Yeah.
Even though you were right outside one of the biggest city centers in Japan. Here is so different because we are in a business district.
Yeah. So yesterday when we were out walking around, like any business district, it was just dead for a Saturday morning.
Although I think if we would have gone down a little bit to the east of us, you could see all the lights were there. It's like that is that's an after hours, after work spot, but it must be still one that's hopping enough on the weekend. Mm-hmm. But it was funny by the time we went to the restaurant at what, like 7:30 or something like
last
that.
Last night.
Yeah. Last night. And by the time we came home, a bunch of the restaurants that were open on the way there were already closed as well. So I think they definitely do their daytime, weekday business.
Yeah. Last thing. last night we were tired after walking 20,000 steps, unsurprisingly, and we looked for a restaurant for like way too long. Sometimes Google can be a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, there's too many options. I mean, there's literally hundreds of restaurants within like probably a quarter mile.
Right, which is because a lot of them are like 4 or 5 seats, right?
Yeah, right.
Like the one
yeah.
that we went to. So the so when you look, there's just like a million options. And we ended up going to Indian food last night because yeah. I was like, it's a 5-minute walk away and the menu has English on it. And like, those are the two things
it
that
had high ratings.
The food
looked
delicious.
It also had
high ratings.
And unlike our friend Kelly, who gets Mexican food every country she goes to, we've had Indian food almost every country we've yeah. gone to. And I would say this was one of the best Indian foods I've had outside of India.
Yeah, it was really, really good. So totally happy with my choice. But it was funny, like our second night here, we were like, what are we going to do? Oh, Indian.
Yeah, yeah, it was funny. It was good. So anyways, we're going to go do a little bit of walking around. We're gonna get to Nakano Broadway, which mm-hmm. is something that is a little more internet famous. So we'll see how crowded it is. Maybe yeah. this is going to be the difference.
And there's a festival too, so.
Oh, yeah, we're finally getting, well, hopefully it'll draw some people away from the
shops.
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to take our first Yamanote Line ride. Yeah.
And then we're going to meet up with my mom.
And we're going to see our friend Nick too, so.
Yeah. So, anyway, thanks for listening. We'll have, like Matt said, we're here for 28 days. We'll definitely be doing more than one podcast a month, yeah. in the time that we're here. So
maybe at least two.
Yeah. So hopefully you'll enjoy them. Get to learn some stuff about Japan and, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Check us out on Instagram, rainitin_podcast. We're posting lots of pictures.
Yeah, we are already.
We're also on Facebook, rainitin_podcast, maybe. Anyways, you'll rain it in podcast. Rain it in Matt and Rachel. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you later.